Ryan and Doc crawled close to the back of the saloon, lurking invisibly in the shadows near the outhouses. Doc and Ryan leaned against the back of the saloon. Most of the norms in the gang seemed content to stagger off to bed around 11, though the stickies remained longer. But there was time enough to pinpoint where all of them were sleeping. It was noticeable that norms and muties kept apart when it came to living quarters, which wasn't surprising when you considered the vile habits of the stickies. The local folk of Harmony were keeping very much to themselves. Apart from those working in the Pot of Gold and in a couple of Cheap Jack diners, the streets had been deserted by 9. Doc and Ryan snuck along the backs of the houses, marking them carefully for their attack the following morning. Doc worked hard at establishing a mental plot of where the various gang members were staying and which ones had local women entertaining them.
"I fear there could be the blood of innocents spilled on the morrow."
Ryan nodded. It was getting colder. He tucked the weighted ends of his silk scarf around his throat.
"Could be, Doc. Wasn't there some old pre-dark saying about having to break some eggs before you could cook an omelet?"
"Something like that, Ryan. Will we succeed?"
"Sure."
"Your confidence is powerfully uplifting, Ryan. Back in my day, you could have wowed them as a river-crossing preacher offering redemption and salvation from hellfire. A positive Elmer Gantry, my dear friend."
"Yeah. Follow me."
Ryan led the way back to Christy and Carl along a narrow alley, his Sig Sauer at the ready. A black cat ran away into an overgrown orchard.
"It's just a cat. Supposed to be good luck."
Ryan had left Christy with Carl, figuring that they might appreciate the chance to talk over some of the old times that they shared.
"That was then, and then was a long ways ago."
"I always hoped you'd come back."
"Get your hands off of me, Carl. It was a good moment, and you're just souring up the memory."
"I only want a quick..."
"A quick what, Carl?"
Ryan found the heavily built man gripping Christy by the shoulders, his drinked old face swollen with anger, inches from hers. Carl let Christy go and spun, his fingers clenched.
"Nothing to do with you, Carter. This is personal for me and Christy. You don't have what we got."
"Is that right, Christy? Carl got an ace in the line, does he?"
Christy pulled away, brushing at her clothes, as though something unpleasant had been smeared on her.
"It's all right, lover. It's just that good old Carl kind of forgot where he was and when he was. It'll be fine."
"I hope so."
"Easy to talk with a big cannon in your hand, ain't it, Outlander?"
Ryan holstered the big automatic with his right hand, then stepped in close to Carl.
"Ow! Why, you son of a..."
Ryan had deliberately pulled the blow so that it only landed with a fraction of the force that he could have used.
"Get up. Get up now."
"Again? You broke something inside me, you bastard."
"You get up or I'll cut your throat where you are. You have to realize how much out of your league you're playing here, Carl. Now for the last time, get up."
Slowly, holding himself tightly as if he feared his guts were going to spill in the dirt, Carl drew himself erect.
"Oh, you could have chilled me."
"Wrong, Carl. If Ryan had planned on chilling you, then he'd have done it without making a mistake. Your mistake was thinking something that happened so many years ago was so important that it had a meaning now. It doesn't."
"I see that now. Figure I've made a double stoop of myself. Like to say sorry to both of you. Won't happen again."
"Stick to that, Carl, and we'll all get along fine. Now, we best get back to meet up with the others."
The blacksmith's son took the lead, picking a route between some abandoned cabins toward the distant stand of cottonwoods. Christy walked along with him, while Doc and Ryan brought up the rear.
"Do you trust the village, Smithy? I am minded of the saying about talk being cheap and the price of action colossal."
"I know what you mean. Seems to me that Carl might be a good man under all that liquor and self-pity. Seeing Christy again stirred up feelings he thought long buried. Could be he'll be all right in the morning. But I'll be watching my back."
As far as the companions were able to tell, they now knew the nighttime location of virtually all of the gang, both Stickies and Norms. Some of them had taken up residence in the homes of the good folks of Harmony, living in uncomfortable proximity, but most were in small groups in empty houses. With a little help from Christy and a lot from Carl, they had been able to draw up a map of the settlement that showed the network of streets and alleys and the placement of all the main buildings. Jack had built a small fire in the heart of the trees, having checked that the wind would blow any smoke away from the ville. By its light, the map in the dirt was clear. Ryan borrowed Doc's sword stick to point out who would go where and what they would try to do there.
Okay, so here's the plan.
Sorry, lover, but...
What?
I got a question for Carl.
What is it, Christy?
I've been thinking about visiting Harmony for too many years. Now I'm here and it's really too damned late. The ones I love best are all gone.
There's still some that would recall you. Dozen or more still living in the ville?
Christy shook her head and patted Carl gently on the arm.
Past is past, Carl. We'll do what we can to purge away the infection that's destroying the place.
What was your question, Christy?
Where's the graves? Tyus and Peter.
On the hillside. Catches the morning sun. Real beautiful. Want me to take you there? I mean, time to do it now if you wanted. It's away from where the killers are living.
I remember the cemetery. I just wondered if it was still there and if that's where they rested. Now I know that I can sort of feel easier about it.
You don't want to try and find some of the older folks and ask them if there's any clues about what happened to your mother? Like Carl said, there's time. We're not moving until close to dawn.
Thanks, lover. Coming home's never like you imagine it. The hills aren't as steep and the roads aren't so long. Church steeple's shorter and the school looked a lot smaller than I remember it. It's not the same.
There is a saying that you should never go back.
True. It's true.
So what's the plan, Ryan?
Because the gang's scattered in several different buildings, including the church and school, we'll have to split into three groups and attack in a series of lightning raids. If all goes well, then it should all be over and done in 15 minutes. Carl will come with Christy and me, Jack with Doc, and you and Mildred. Let's check our crons. The moment the shooting begins, it'll be like gasoline on an ant's nest. We all move on the stroke of five. Just be enough light to see our way around by then. And make sure the blasters are all loaded. Anyone got any questions?
Would it be in line for us to try and catch up on a little lost sleep?
Sure. In fact, we should all do the same. And we leave here at 4:30.
At least five of the Cold Hearts were sleeping together in the church. They were the first of the targets for Ryan, Christy, and Carl. They waited in the lee of a stone wall to the east of the building.
What's the time?
2 more minutes. You all right?
Sure. Just want to get started, is all.
Christy was sitting cross-legged, her hands flat along her thighs, her eyes closed, looking as serene as a Buddhist statue of calm, the calm before the hurricane. Ryan checked his chron again.
Right. Carl, take that side door and chill anyone coming out of it.
He gripped Carl by the shoulder.
Anyone, Carl. Hold back for a moment and you'll be buying the farm.
Don't worry. You wouldn't happen to have a small jug of drinking liquor anywhere around. No, I guess you wouldn't.
Carl vanished into the opalescent dawn light, creeping through the dew-decked grass.
You ready, lover?
Ready. Let's do it for all of the dead and for Harmony.
They each snuck around to the front of the church. The oak door was studded with heavy iron nails. The handle was cold and damp as Ryan carefully turned it, his eye half closed, wincing against the expectation of squeaking hinges. The open door revealed a small porch with a pair of muddied boots in one corner. The door into the body of the church was partly open, and Ryan ghosted through it, the Sig Sauer drawn, the rifle across his shoulder. Christy was at his heels like an avenging angel with hair of living fire, holding her own Smith & Wesson gun. The church was white and wooden-framed, with a stained glass window facing the east. The first weak shimmering rays of the dawning lit up the picture of the blessed Saint Buebo of Ishmaelia, smiling beatifically while defeating the great worm of Salonika with a fiery trident. There was enough light in the building to show Ryan and Christy the sleeping men, sprawled between pews, one of them lying drunkenly across the stained top of the altar. Most were wrapped in blankets, making it difficult to tell if they were norms or muties. Ryan counted and held up 6 fingers, looking around to see if any others slept in the shadows. Christy shook her head. She held up 7 fingers, pointing with the barrel of the Smith & Wesson toward the pool of darkness between the pulpit and the covered font. The Kron's dancing digital figures glowed as Ryan checked them again. It was nearly time. Ryan catfooted to the man on the altar and brought the barrel of the Sig Sauer to his nape, angling it toward the occipital bone at the rear of the skull. He looked behind him to see that Christy had taken a similar position, kneeling by one of the sleeping gang of killers. Ryan checked his chron again. It was time. Ryan pressed the gun against the warm skin. The murderers all died without waking, with the exception of the one who'd been sleeping near the pulpit. With the corpse lying on the floor, there was enough light for Ryan to see that he'd killed a middle-aged woman with short curly hair. Christy walked across to join Ryan, carefully avoiding the spreading pools of dark blood.
Done?
She paused as she saw the last victim.
Gaia! That's Martha Pucklebell. I knew her when I was little. Lived next... How come you...
Just another person in a blanket.
I guess if she was sleeping in here with them, then... More shooting.
Others are getting on with the business. Let's move. Every second's precious.
JB and Mildred had been given the school. It seemed that this was one of the centers for the muties, and the firepower of the Uzi and Mildred's uncanny accuracy with her check revolver could prove vital. JB took the back, slipping in past the outhouses and toward a small cloakroom, lined with benches and rows of pegs. Mildred walked along the grass at the side of the gravel path to the front door, which stood slightly ajar. There was the strong smell of smoke, and she could make out the remains of a big fire still glowing in the grate, which was another pointer to the presence of Stickies, with their notorious love of flames and explosions. She entered the single classroom at the same moment JB appeared from a door at the side of the teacher's desk. The first dawn light was just enough, as Ryan had said it would be, for them to make out the sleeping enemies. JB checked his chron. There were six sleeping figures. All were unmistakably Stickies, with eroded, corrupt features, scabbed skin, and the tiny circles of the suckers on their hands and fingers, rhythmically opening and closing. JB had the Uzi on single shot and walked briskly between the sleeping muties. The fifth Sticky was partly awake. He sat up, rubbing at his eyes. JB had shot him through the suckered palms, straight into his skull. Mildred turned to the last Sticky as he reached for his gun.
So far, so good.